This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
What's the weather like there? It's cold now, or what's the...
Rainy.
Yeah?
And expecting snow tomorrow. That's good.
Wow.
Maybe may live with that shirt, you know?
Okay, good. So we're holding here Ube Medrash, I believe, yeah? Ube Medrash.
Ube Medrash. One second.
I think we saw the Yerushalmi last time, now it's the Medrash. Ube Medrash, Yalkut Ba'lo Yischa. Beroiv Dvarm Lo Yechtal Pesha, Zumiryam. So it says that with an overload of words, you somehow, too much words causes some sort of aver, that's Miriam. And the Pasuk is Vatadab Miriam. Va'aron b'Moshe, v'choisech sfasav, b'shvil shechoisech sfasav miladab b'chaveru maskil, and someone who is choisech sfasav is maskil. Amar Shimon ben Gamliel, kol yomer gedalt b'chacham l'matzis l'guf toiv elishtika. That's a Mishnah. Amar Razal, shnei diklunin hayu oimnu v'anjoninus, two diklunin. The klunin are some sort of people who do recitals, speakers, etc. Were standing in front of Andrinus. Echad ha'im alamid al adibu shuyafe, ve'echad al ashtiku shuyafe. They were having sort of a debate whether speech is better or keeping quiet is better. Ama echad lemelech, mori, ein toiv min adibu baylam. There's nothing better than speech in the world. Amle heich, how do you... Amalei ilule hadibur loy hoyu hamalachim ismalchim, you'd never have a king. Vameisin igmalim chesed, you'd never be able to say a proper eulogy about someone who passed away. I guess kings and being eulogized in those days went hand in hand. They didn't last all that long. Vakalois miskalseis, you're able to praise a kala. Umaso matan bolom, business. Vasfinas poshes bayam, and ships go out to the ocean. I don't know if this is meant to be a branch of commerce, so this is like part of Masa Matan, or you need to be able to have crew members communicate to each other. I'm not sure, but be it as it may, those are the adventures of Dibur. Amar Leandrinus, Yafi Debat, and he said, yeah, that you've made some very, very good points. Then he turned to the fellow who claimed shtika is better. Let's hear. Why do you feel shtika is good? So he began to explain. So the other guy smacked him on his mouth. He says, hey, what's that all about? Mari, listen. Mishali al shali lamadati mi dibur al dibur. I've used my tool to sort of make my point that when you speak beautifully, you're actually able to present things very well. And this person wants to use my tool to show that he's more efficient. Let him try to keep quiet and prove his point by keeping quiet. And that was the smack on his mouth. Amar Shlomo, so Chazal say Shlomo said Lo Marti She Teolim Pichav Diyashoysik VeYosef. Yosef, I didn't say that you should be absolutely dumb. Ala Chaseich Sfasecha Meladaber Chavercha. Rein in your tongue from speaking about your friend. Vechein Oymen Etzal Shon Chamira and so on. Okay, so that's the Medrash. Vinira Ki Bala Medrash Haze Bo Loimar Ki Bevadei Hashtika Kasha Ein Tzorach LeDibur. Hashtika yofa pen yedabes fas yese bedova mashin rola dabe. Elakshash dibu lohitzim ala poile dibu as a dibu yofa. So he's explaining the klal. So let's be marked a little bit. The ability to speak is something that I or speech. Is something that I can understand as being a function to itself. It's an activity, and it carries its merit is because schmoozing is enjoyable, it's interesting, it's whatever it is. Or I can view speech only as a tool to be used to bring out certain points in conjunction with the mouth. So, in conjunction with the mind, I mean. So we have here two different ways of looking at Dibur. Everyone understand, that's obvious that Dibur is important because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Koach HaDibur and Adam is called a Medaber. But the question really is, what's the context of Dibur? Is it something in its own right? Or is it, so for instance, let's take some sort of analogy. When a person running and jumping are pleasant, healthy, refreshing activities, they're all right. And I can say it is a good thing to run and jump about a bit, and not only when running is a tool to help me realize some sort of important goal, to get something very important, but it's within its own right, within itself. It's something that has some positive value to it. So the being able to see positive value in... So the question is Dibur. I can look at Dibur as something which is an activity and the end is within itself. It's like the classic difference between men and women. Women are called Dabroniyos in Chazal. They speak a lot. So it's not simply that they speak a lot. It means by a woman, speech is an end to itself. If a man would sit for 2 hours to discuss a problem with someone else, and at the end of it, he'd come up with no solution, he'd feel basically it was 2 wasted hours. Maybe he needed to try, but it certainly wouldn't feel in any way that is positive. A woman will come back from that 2-hour conversation feeling very positive. You know, we really had a good discussion, but it didn't go anywhere. Well, only a man thinks it has to go somewhere. A woman knows that a discussion is good because discussions are good. That it's an end to itself. So the real issue is not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give us Koach HaDibur so that we are dumb and don't use it. Rather, it's to be used as a tool for the mind to express itself, but not to become an activity. I have nothing to do now, I'll schmooze a bit. So he says, so speech is even though it seems as if speech is harmless, okay, it may not have much value, just speech, but it can't be doing any, there can't be anything wrong with it, but it's very, very easy to slip off into saying what you shouldn't say. When the second one came to teach me a bit about Dibur, about the shtika, so that's why he thought to speak about it. So that's why the person his antagonist felt that the person's position is that Dibur is that shtika is always preferable. In other words, I'm not sure who made the mistake, but either his understanding wasn't nuanced enough or the person's position wasn't nuanced enough. But Eich Lo Yia, the assumption, the Havamina was that he would just speak, you know, that keeping quiet period is virtuous, and that's why he smacked him when he tried to speak about it. Klal Adava. Hadibur atzorch l'odam, shemoyitz odam l'poal dibur, kemoyze roi l'odam. So the dibur needs to be the concluding piece of it. In other words, dibur can't be the originator of whatever it is that I'm speaking. It can be the concluding step. In other words, I thought of something, I had an idea, I developed it, and now I'm ready to present it. And the presentation in that case is very positive, but it's the end process rather than the beginning process. So now he says, so in that discussion between the two antagonists, that's the pshat. The pshat is dibur is only appropriate when it is, you know, there as a tachlis in sichlius. What about the pasuk? In the pasuk it says, it says only not to speak about people. But any other speaking about things and ideas and so on is muta. You don't need to rein it in. So Ral adds the knetch to the point of dibur as follows. Speech in itself is a speech in itself has a mila of it's the only real way to forge a bond with other people. In as much as the world is supposed to bond with itself, the Mark Mal says in many places of the world, you know, ben adam lamakim on a chaveray, ben adam latzmoy, that one of the tachlisim of the bria is that the person create bonds with peers. So dibur is a chitimtza for that, and therefore, just like if you don't give shalom to somebody for a few days, that's called you're an enemy. Reaching out to somebody with dibur is the minimal and maybe in some ways most significant of touching base with other people. So when you speak with somebody, the whole musik of being shoel shlomo. Shoel shlomo means express an interest. So that itself has chshivas also, except you have to be careful that you don't turn it into something destructive. Especially like it says, to speak about chavercha, you're trading in one good deed for a bad deed. You're reaching out to Ruvain and trying to be friendly to him and nice and so on, but you are doing it at the expense of Shimon, who you're talking about. So that type of deal is also appropriate. Now, let's take a look at that. So there's one type of dibur that's there to express chachma and ideas and things of that nature. Okay, there's another dibur whose job is to use the meaning behind diburim to bond with other people. So when I speak to you, I'm making a statement. I've noticed you. You hold my interest. I want to share things with you, and so on. So that tends, that forms bonds. The nafkemina, what type of dibur is, what I'll be doing is, well, what do I talk about? If let's say I sit down and I say, you know, this person here looks very lonely to me. Doesn't have many friends. I want to be his friend. So I sit down and I start talking to him. That's very good. If the talking is a way for me to indulge my own need for whatever it is, from attention to whatever, then the conversation will be about me. I'll tell him about myself, about my children, my grandchildren, my business, whatever it is. I'm going to be talking about myself. Because it's all it is. It's just a way for me to express myself in different ways. If I'm interested in the other person, then I'm going to be speaking his language. I'm going to be asking him. I need to focus on the person. Explain me, why does he feel this way? How do you see this? How are things going with you? The way I bond with somebody else is not when I dump on him all my nonsense. It's when I ask him about his things. That's the way in which I bond with the other person. I once saw there still exists a Yiddish newspaper in New York called the Allgemeine Journal, which once upon a time was a newspaper. Today, for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years, it basically just all sorts of social events, and you know, it's kind of a pitiful thing. And in its more heyday, they would have in the middle of it write-ups about interesting people, players in the Jewish world, etc. It was obviously stuff that people paid to write about themselves. I mean, it was that type of stuff. So, somebody writes an article. A woman writes an article about she and her children. That she has three children, and one is a principal somewhere, one is a teacher someplace, one does something else somewhere, and each one is more wonderful than the other. A whole piece like that. Couldn't believe that this is. But the person needs to excuse themselves why they're writing about this. I mean, especially the reporter who's quote unquote reporting this, and you know, so on. So the woman said, the reason why she's writing about this and being so public is because she feels that she's been very blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not right to hold all blessings to yourself. And she wanted to share it with everybody else. Now, I find it mind-boggling that, you know, I have no problem with the person fibbing and sort of covering up and lying when it's good, when the person thinks things that make sense. I mean, presenting themselves that besides being a nudnik, this person is a great philanthropist, they're sharing the nachas with us. I found that to be an amazing article. You know, sometimes something is so bad that it's great. I just wonder if the person actually is so blind, so not understanding. But okay, I guess that's what it is. But if I reach out to somebody else with dibur, then I'm reaching out on his turf. There's stories of all sorts of gedolim. That when it came to the farm, I think Rabbi Simcha Zissel Kelm or Rabbi Yisrael, when he had this place where he stayed in the summers, and he sat with the farm and discussed the latest birthing of the cows and the, you know, and what's happening in the field and so on, because that was he's trying to acknowledge this farmer who's helping him, and he's trying to sort of see it on his turf. And my job now is to make you feel positive, and it means by going into your world and interacting with you on your world, to sit and to say divrei Torah, doesn't talk to the person, and the person can't make heads or tails out of it, wouldn't be reaching out to the person. You need to find the right mix of diburim to reach out to the person. So being using dibur as a chetimtzi mervin abrius is also good. But ribu dvarim, by the way, ribu always means when I am, it's not as per need. When I say I have a lot of whatever, what I'm saying is it surpasses my needs. So when you have ribu diburim, it's something which is surpassing the needs, and therefore it's always bad. The reason why it's bad is, so we'll go back to the point said before. The Chazal, the pasuk says Eved ki yimloch, that when a slave becomes master, we have a lot of problems, and the reason is because instead of the higher element controlling the lower element, it becomes vice versa. It's the tail leading the head. It's just like in all the silly stories about the workers in the factory taking over the factory and so on, managing the factory. I mean, managing is a skill, and that has its own, it's something which is requires ability. Working requires ability to work. Does not have the ability to manage. So Eved Kimloch is always when you take the low end and make it master over itself. It's very bad. Let's go in a simple yes.
You just look in South Africa today.
Yes,
but that's exactly what it is.
It is, yes, very much so.
Computer.
Huh?
Computer.
Yeah. I'm not there, but from what I read, it's pretty horrendous. It's not that it was pleasant or pretty what went on beforehand, but it was running and it was a country. It's borderline no longer. Eved Kimloch. It's what happens is there's a seder in the Bris. Let's go on a personal level. A person has typhus. A person has his stomach likes food. So that the desire of the stomach can become the director of what I eat and when I eat and how much I eat. That's not good for a person. A person has seichel, which is on top, and that directs and controls his stomach. And it can say, no, you mustn't eat this, it's not good for you, or you must eat this, or whatever it is, and then things run smoothly. That's what it's supposed to be. The malchus is, the melech is always supposed to be something above it. And whenever you let the thing become a melech over itself, the results are never positive. So
about dibur, so what happens when dibur becomes the
okay,
melech?
Good, exactly. So when dibur is the area that becomes that we make that mistake. If, for instance, eating or working or something like that, which is very physical, we understand that seichel, it should direct it and control it. Since dibur is a higher function, if I can give a mashal, go back to our old mashal, in the army or in a company, you have something called middle management, so you'll have the lieutenant, the captain, and so on, and they do have a degree of ability to command, but if they try to take the place of the general, the colonel, who's strategizing and looking at a bigger picture, we get bad results again. Same thing in a company, there's a middle manager guy who can run the factory as well and get stuff delivered and so on and so forth, but in terms of strategy and a bigger picture, it's not for him, there's no shaykhis. Here also, the dibur is much more of a sichliistic activity than the other stuff, and therefore there's a real havamina in a person that the dibur should become it should control itself, so to speak. I'll speak whatever I enjoy saying, and whatever feedback to me in terms of the saying is, and that's great. I'll be able, you know, I don't feel that I need to control it, and that's where it becomes a problem, because if the dibur takes on a life of its own, then it looks to be, you know, it looks to be exciting and so on, and therefore it's it says things that are worse and worse as you go along. It's interesting, the you know, Moshe and Aaron, Aaron and Miriam, specifically, their chet was, it's called Hotzaz Diba, sort of a Lashon Hara. It's a statement that they said, however we'll understand it being Lashon Hara, but that's a statement they said. They were, so to speak, in the Kaima of Klal Yisrael, they were second in command to Moshe. So it says it mefurish in a pasuk. It says in next week's sedra, va'aron yelecho lepeh, that, you know, you'll be his navi and Aaron will be your mouthpiece. So Aaron to Moshe is the mouthpiece to the source, to the machshava. Moshe would be like machshava. Aaron HaKohen would be the peh. So that's what pasuk says. Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvat peh, and also Sayim, and Aaron was able to speak. So the problem of Aaron and Miriam when they spoke against Moshe was a problem of the peh. It was the mouth was saying things it felt without processing it through seichel and das. You know, had they thought about it, they would have thought differently. They would have recognized that they're not in a position to speak of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the chet of Sfas Yesa, of Dibur becoming too much, expressed itself exactly by Aaron. And this is, you know, exactly the two that were punished for what they said.
Why was Aaron? He didn't get the punishment, right?
Right. It doesn't seem as if he. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why was.
What did they call him for the nevuah, and they were calling for Mayim? What was both of them? Because
correct, but the tzaras was only Miriam. So why was it that she got it and he didn't get it? I don't know. The demonstration was to both of them. The demonstration to them was that I want to draw another parallel in the Bria to this. That's very, it's very similar to Aaron and to Moshe. A Navi Sheker gets Misa. A Navi Sheker is a Navi Sheker even if he overhears in the voice of somebody else. So it's not only if a Gershbo didn't speak and didn't speak to me, and I don't know what he wants, and you know, somebody's coming along and saying a Kadosh Baruch Hu said this and this, we understand it's a terrible avla, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who says he wants it and so on. But I overheard, I have a good friend of mine who's a Navi, and he was sitting there having the Vua beamed in, and I sat down next to him and joined him, and I was able to see it and hear it. So,
but
Navi Sheker is even if he told him someone else, if I wasn't mitzvah to you. So the information, so I get up and I say, Rabbi Yisrael, you got to do tshuva because Nineveh is going to be destroyed next amount of days, v'chulo, v'chulo, v'chulo. And it's true. I heard Yaina. I was sitting next to Yaina, and I ate lunch with Yaina, and all of a sudden he gets this terrible a vision, you know, that this Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That, and I decide, you know what, Yaina's got enough, done enough nevuing in his life. I've never had that pleasure, and I run off to Nineveh, and I go back up and down the streets, and I say, Rabbi Yisrael, if you guys don't do tshuva, in 30 days, Nineveh is charev, and so on.
I'm not a Navi. A Navi isn't the postures of a Navi Sheker who gets a. I'm nothing. If I would hear Yoina do it, I could do it. That's nothing.
Not right, right, right. Well, halachically, it's true. It says in Chal that the Navi Sheker had powers and stuff like that. But the halacha is true the way I'm telling you. if somebody goes and claims that he had nevuah, and he passes it off as real nevuah when he didn't have, even if it's true that nevuah, even if he's getting from somebody that's true, it still is called a, it's a Navi Sheker. And the reason is because the Navi Sheker is not only on the message. Let's give a mashal. Let's say someone comes to ask, it's coming to ask a halachic shayla by a big rav, and I hear the tshuva. I'm sitting there, and tomorrow someone else asks the same question, and I pipe up and I tell them this is halacha. So I'd be rude and whatever, but I would have told them whatever I said was right. No one can come along and tell me you told them a false psak. Worst comes to worst, they can call me a plagiarizer, maybe whatever. But at least I knew where to look and what to look for. But that's in anything but nevuah. In nevuah, the whole point of nevuah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed people that are geimer his dvarim with nevuah, and therefore, if the person poses a sheker, there's some akira of this whole process. You're not a Kaddish Baruch spokesman. You've taken off on your own. You have bifurcated the chachmosa yisparach with dibura yisparach. So it's a begam, not in it's the same type of begam in Olam Adibur, where you're divorcing the dibur from the daya. And that's why it's so chomer, because the Navi is called, the Rishonim say it's called Nivs Vasayim, it's like a spokesman for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sort of is a giving over his words, he speaks for him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's when you oiker that institution, so it's the problem of the Navi Sheker is not only if the message is wrong, and I'm telling people to do things that are wrong. Even if I get up and say, Rabbi Isai, if I get up and tell people, Rabbi Isai, you got to do tshuva, we need to do tshuva because we're having, so many problems and difficulties, and I'm sure that this is because of our veils and so on and so forth. All that, then it's called, I'm a wonderful guy. I'm like a rav, I'm a mochiach, and fine. If I get up and I say, Rabbi Isai, I had a vision last night, it's clear to me it's nevuah, because Rock came to me and said, warn the generation they should do tshuva, because their various are so terrible, etc. Everything I said last time, just the name of Hashem, I'm Chayv Misa. And the reason is because it's not the problem of what the message is. The problem is creating a matziv where diburim stand on their own without the medaber. That's the truth is that in all chet ha-dibur, in many chet ha-dibur, it's creating a dibur that stands by itself and has its own it has own metzias. Lashon hara is so devastating because it's an activity in its own. It's not just information about somebody. It's never business-like information about somebody. That's mutalpidin, actually. But rather, it's a lot more enjoying the discussing of the other person. So I'm taking the koach hadibur and turning it into a mokum tanugim for bed. I think the next one is quite a long piece. So I don't want to be stuck in the middle. This is Rambam on Shtika and so on. I think we'll hold it here. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for
the appearance. Okay, take care. All the best. Bye.
Shabbos. Bye. Shabbos.